Since I was coming today, I just decided to wait.
You're here for the informal more so than... You're here for the informal?
If we could come to order, we'll start
this.
The meeting.
Oh, okay. Well, I should have read it.
Oh, I think he's absolutely...
Can we have folks hush their conversations? We've got a special meeting to take care of before we get to the informal hearing. So I'll call the special meeting to order. It's 10 a.m., May 13th, 2008, North Dakota Public Service Commission. We're in the commission hearing room, 12th floor of the state capitol. This is Commissioner Tony Clark.
Kevin Kramer.
We have just one item on the special meeting agenda. Oh, I should note for the record, Commissioner Wiefald is on vacation, so unable to make the special meeting. It is in her portfolio. I'll go ahead and make the motion. I move the commission suspend Northern States Power Company's demand-side management and cost recovery tariff filed in case number PU08171.
Second.
What we're doing here today is suspending a tariff that North NSP XL Energy has submitted to the commission. Tariffs take effect by virtue of law if they're not suspended, and so that's the reason for the special meeting, so that we're able to suspend it. This gives us 6 months, I believe. Is it 6 or 7? 6 months after the date that we've suspended the tariff to decide what the commission's going to do with it. Basically, what XL has proposed is a series of what we call demand-side management options. Basically, they propose funding a number of specific programs, both for commercial electric customers as well as residential electric customers, that would make electricity usage more efficient. And there's a number of programs that are contained in the filing. It's things like incentives to change light bulbs for residential customers or to move to different lighting fixtures. On the industrial side, it's a little bit more load management, things like air conditioning control, things like that. Basically, utility companies will from time to time come to regulatory commissions and ask for these types of programs, and then what they do in conjunction with them is ask for some sort of rate recovery because they lose some electricity sales. And basically, with a change like this, the commission wants time to look into it, study some of the cost benefits and things like that before we would do anything with it, because it would have a rate impact on consumers.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That ends the items on the special meeting agenda. Before we move to the informal that we have scheduled for after this, I'll ask if there are any questions.
Yeah.
Dave.
Does XL already have a program like this in place?
I believe they have programs like this in other states. I can't say that for certain, but I think they do. Not here so much. Oh, Jerry, do you?
Yes, they do have some programs now, such as their Saver Switch program for residential AC. It cycles the air conditioners every so many minutes, off and on, with a certain part of them being off for a certain period of time, and then another part of them being off during another period of time, and a couple of other programs as well that are more aimed towards demand side, lowering the amount of demand on the system at any given time. So.
How about the other Otter Tail and MDU?
Otter Tail has a residential demand controller program as well as some other programs. All of them have interruptible rates where the utility charges a lesser rate to customers that are willing to get off the system during peak.
One of the things that's a little bit more, I don't know, robust or proactive about this proposal is that XL is proposing that they would set up things like tracking accounts where they'll try to figure out how much demand is being reduced and then would seek some sort of recovery for that demand. So it's a fairly targeted approach that they're talking about.
When yeah, the lost revenue adjustment mechanism is always a little bit tricky because on the one hand, you're incenting people to use less of a product that you sell, and then you're asking the other people to compensate for that, and it's not an unusual design, but it doesn't fit with very many consumer products, I will tell you that. So it'll require a pretty thorough review. I'm fairly familiar with Otter Tail, of course we all are, but I have a lot of family on Otter Tail, and so the whole issue of being controlled, for example, of controlling peak and things is wonderful when you're paying the bill, but it sometimes is a bit problematic when you're freezing, you know. So the balance is always important to seek in these things.
Yeah, I mean, cost benefit for me is really going to be the name of the game, because you can throw a lot of money at demand side management. You can throw a lot of money at energy efficiency, but there comes a point, and to me it's the break even point, mm-hmm. where you say, you know what, it's just cheaper to build the generation than it is to keep encouraging people to use less and less. And so the question is going to be is how much does it cost? How much is it going to cost consumers to cut back? And would it be cheaper just to build the generation as opposed to pay them to try to reduce demand?
There is a school of thought out there, and certainly in places around us, where any type of conservation or demand-side management is better than building generation. If it's not economically better, it's not fair to assume that it always is. It needs to be rethought. So I think it'll be a very interesting process to go through and to dissect the proposal. I've read it a couple of times in a fair amount of detail. There's also, you know, the hiring of a marketing person that would be that person out there encouraging conservation. And, you know, again, it all requires cost-benefit analysis, as Tony said, and I look forward to the discussion.
Well, given my long-standing rule of trying to get two stories out of anything, right?
Sure.
tomorrow, any of you go into the wind farm dedication?
I will be up there, not so much as a commissioner as a broadcaster. I'm hosting a show for WDAY up there, as you know, I've done from time to time. Even though my good friend Scott will be here, I'll be there.
Yeah, I'll be up there as well. Okay, not hosting any rain. Well, it's...
There's been a lot of articles recently about...
Yes, there have.
That wind power may be the, you know, as we've all said, maybe the next thing. Now is the next thing.
Sure, and I see today that there's... several hundred more megawatts that likely are going to be built in the center area due to the, I don't know if you saw that, Dave, there's the mm-hmm. news release that came out relating to Minnesota Power using their existing DC line to build more megawatts of wind power. So, I mean, clearly wind power is a growth industry for North Dakota. The Langdon Wind Farm will be the state's largest. The proposed Ashtabula one is about the same size, and to put these in kind of the bigger picture of things, the fact is these are large wind farms nationally speaking. If you look at the proposed wind farms or the wind farms under construction across the country, there aren't very many that are larger than 200 megawatts. I mean, there are a few, but really not a lot. And it's I think, especially exceptional considering how far we are from the load centers. I mean, most of the places that you see the real large wind farms like this go up tend to be closer to large metropolitan areas. A lot are in Texas, but, you know, they have Houston and Dallas and things like that. We're several hundred miles from load centers anywhere near that size, and I think it speaks to just how good the wind resource is up here.
Yet there still is the problem with transmission.
Right, and we've been fortunate so far that the wind industry has been able to fit its wind farms in pockets on the grid where it requires kind of minimal upgrades from a transmission standpoint, but that's not going to be the case for long. I mean, at the same time, transmission's coming along. I mean, you see a number of fairly large projects throughout the region, especially in Minnesota, which is really the key because that's the middle piece between where the wind is and where the load centers are further to the east, and so these transmission projects are coming online and are going to facilitate even more wind.
You know, Dave, I think back to even when I was economic development director, one of the messages that I presented to the coal industry at the time was that if you want to have major transmission built, start encouraging wind development, because the value, the cultural value and acceptance of wind energy provides an opportunity to build transmission lines that are not as desirable, quite honestly, with traditional forms of generation. So what I think you're seeing come together, and I think today's announcement by Minn Kota and Minnesota Power is a classic example of cultures and needs and, frankly, incentives and laws coming together to provide an opportunity once again for North Dakota to provide what the area wants and needs, whether it be low-cost traditional coal-generated power or wind-generated electricity. We're seeing the coming together of lots of players to meet that need, and it's just a great time and a blessed time to be in North Dakota, where because of these resources, we are define the economic odds of our country. Once again, we are seeing that the economic downturn / recession is eluding us, and you know, again, because we have what people want and what people need. Today's informal is even a piece of that. One of the things that strikes me about the Langdon Wind Project, as an example, and Barnes County with Ashtabula and others, is that you're seeing the eastern half of our state become a major player in the energy industry. And once again, you have different cultures gaining a greater understanding of both the potential and the economic importance of these kinds of developments, whether they be large oil pipelines or wind farms or transmission lines. It's major investment in our state that results in some very significant tax base. I was just telling Tony this morning, you're seeing the energy industry in North Dakota do more to provide property tax relief than the legislature and governors will ever be able to do. So, it's a neat time in North Dakota. Our job, of course, is to make sure that all of that development is done right.
We have time for one more. I don't have any more than 35 more minutes of questions.
Go ahead.
Well, we're working on the third or fourth story now, yeah.
is the decision by the judge in Minnesota about the transmission lines connected with Bigstone 2, is that going to affect your deliberation?
Well, our deliberations are, are fairly, well down the line. I don't know that they will affect our deliberations as much as they'll affect the company's involved decision on how to move forward.
It'll affect the project dramatically. I mean, if Minnesota decides that they're just going to block transmission lines, period, there's not going to be a power plant there, and that will impact North Dakotans at some point through rates, because it will impact what type of generation resources are built. Now, from just the facts in front of us, I don't see it impacting our decision at all. I mean, we have to make a decision in the best interest of North Dakota consumers, and we're not going to quit protecting North Dakota ratepayers and give that authority to some administrative law judges in Minnesota. I mean, they're dealing with a different set of facts, and we just have to make a decision based on the facts before us.
The facts on which they made their decision are interesting, however.
They changed their decision.
Yeah, right. No, I don't want to elaborate.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yep, we'll close the meeting and move to the informal. Thank you.